Wow. My name is John. I'm an addict. First, I need to thank this area for the wonderful job that they put on with this event. The smile and the stuttering is because this is where my recovery started from, Altoona. And I mean, like, it just feels good to see how Narcotics Anonymous has grown. And also one of the pieces that's in our literature, it says unity is a must, and it's been shown throughout the day of this event. So I'm proud of all the members of Altoona as well as the other areas that continues to help us learn how to live just for today. And it's always a responsibility and an honor to be asked to carry our message at an event such as this, because a lot of times I can't speak for others, but I don't take this position lightly. You know, it's a trusted serving position just as well as yours for sitting there, because it's important that we continue to keep an atmosphere of recovery. I believe in our literature. You might have heard me say this before, and you might didn't. I don't blame you for me believing in the literature anymore, because I learned it. Through the step process, I become accountable and responsible, so the work I've done has produced who I am. Our literature does change, and it changes from within for those of us that participate in service and the levels that it develops to allow it to continue to be manifested, because Narcotics Anonymous is evolving. You know, I'm grateful for the predecessors, and I'm grateful that the traditions aren't negotiated, but the literature does change, and I'm grateful because we change. The disease of addiction continues to be what it is, key components, obsession and compulsion, and its purpose is to do nothing but destroy. So with these principles in our new literature and our old literature, I have an opportunity that I could not find nowhere else on this world. Nowhere else in this world. The opportunity is freedom from the disease of addiction that affects every area of my life. The committee here asked me to share on something. We learned to practice the principle of honesty. I don't want to say I have it down packed, but the learning process and staying in it continues to let me get better. And I had asked this gentleman earlier to pick me a topic, and I threw it in a book, and somebody else grabbed a topic, and we took a group conscience with me and my sister, and including prayer. Because our fourth concept says a lot of times we say we have a group conscience and never invite God, as you understand it, and want to justify it and continue to carry our message when it's messed. Our program is a spiritual program, not religious, but a group conscience consists of the spiritual nature of a God of our understanding, which the second tradition says is the ultimate authority. So I'm sharing on one disease, many symptoms. See, and I find out that I'm grateful I'm not afraid of literature, and I'm grateful I'm not afraid of being guided through the 12 steps, 12 tradition, and the 12 concepts, because what it's done is given me some awareness, some identification. You know, I used to get irritated when I hear people say, I feel some type of way. Well, my third tradition learns and helps me remember empathy and compassion, and sometimes even to let the kindness be lend, or kindness lends to compassion. And what it does, and why I say that, because I'm able to identify the other symptoms now. And I'm saying that because drugs was just that, a symptom. Let me go here with you real quick. So, you know, you'll say, well, what do you mean? Well, this is what I mean for my disease of addiction that affects every area of my life. And we say mentally, physically, and spiritually, and then our literature even say emotionally. Right, so that's the creation of who I am as a human being. And if it affects every area of my life, and I told you I still lie and I'm practicing honesty, page 77, basic text, need glasses, denial, I won't go get them, procrastination. But, you know, I still have the accountability, but unwillingness will cause those areas that the disease of addiction exists in to manifest and get what we call freedom from the arrest process that the 12 principles of our program, which is the 12 steps, gives me. So a simpler term is that if I don't become willing to apply the information or the action from the information, I stay stuck and I stay in the process of the regression of the disease of addiction. Not the progression to recovery, because the literature say ongoing, but the disease of minds, let me talk about me, is in the business of identifying my weakest areas. So he looks for those loopholes. He looks for those moments that you want to be complacent, lazy, and unwilling, or a case of denial or lying, because it wants to destroy. Now, I was going to the literature, page 77, 78, just my interpretation. Fifth tradition says we get our own. So if you don't agree with me, you read it and you get your own. But do me a favor, when we disagree to agree, don't forget to save my life and please allow me to save yours if you're placed in a situation that I don't have the power to get out of. Please? I'm a recovering addict, not recovered. We must relearn many things that we have forgotten and develop a new approach to life if we are to survive. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. It is about people who care about desperate, dying addicts and who can, in time, teach them how to live without drugs. Many of us, please pay attention if you want to get this information. Many of us had difficulties coming into the fellowship because we did not understand that we have the disease of addiction. We sometimes see our past behaviors as part of ourselves and not part of our disease. And I said, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me because I have a short complex, I got some freedom and I don't have to say it's me anymore? It's not having acceptance that I'm short and the disease is telling me that I need to fight you because you're bigger than me? Wow. And you mean to tell me experienced members as well as the newcomer in here and say, John, we like you, we love you for just who you are, even though you're short. I said, damn. And guess what? The first reaction to that part of acceptance, because I always say it's me, it's my fault. It's not the disease in me, because the drug was supposed to be the disease. Remember, one disease, many symptoms. So you said, we love you. We're going to sponsor you. We're going to be understanding. I got some people that tell me the truth when it hurt and I want to get resentful, but they never stop loving me. Then you got some people who say, John, you're real hard on yourself. You won't allow us to love you. Now, that's the piece that I identify where accountability comes in, because you can't just cop out because you got a disease of addiction that carries many symptoms. I got some awareness now. I got some principles. Even if I got here and said, I'm here for the first time, 5 minutes, whatever got me down those steps, that I am aware that I can walk down this step to know that somebody said this place gives me freedom from the pain of using drugs. So I don't need to be trying to talk about no defects of character. Just worry about get the disease or the drug that causes me to have that pain that brought me down the steps. Sitting here gives you freedom, John. So in the process, as I told someone earlier, that the one disease, many symptoms, I gambled. I gambled because grief was going on in my life. I didn't gamble only because I was willing, because I remember gambling against my will. I remember saying, I ain't gambling, I got this, and gamble. Went into the illusion and the fantasy that I got this, it's all right, I'm going to win, you know, we're only going to spend half, and it's always the same thing. The obsession and compulsion sent me to false reality, you're going to win. Then when you lose 100, you lose another 100, next thing you know, you got your tail tucked, and the disease is saying, why don't you just drive your car off the highway, because you don't have the courage to face your wife and them, that once again, you gambled up all the money with these enormous amount of years clean, all this information in you, but yet still, you messed up. Why you say I jumped all the way over there, tenth step working guide, page 95. Tempstat, page 95, says, but even such profound changes, and that's the recovery process is describing, right, aren't guaranteed to be permanent. Because we have the disease of addiction, we can always return to what we were before recovery. So, in other words, John, when you don't apply the principles, you let out another one of these symptoms. Obsession and compulsion, for me, it don't need to take a long period of time to get fixed and stuck on the idea. And denial and unwillingness and refusal, I'm gone. With all this information I have driven in my car, with the literature sitting beside me, with certain music playing in the prayer piece, but just didn't practice nothing else to get out of that insanity. Could not get out. And went straight into disaster. And I'm talking about humiliation. You're talking about the power, that self-centeredness that I gave up. I gave up because I was unwilling to do what was necessary to stop the disease from doing what it was created to do. The misinformed information don't have power over me anymore if I use the solution. Simple surrender gives me freedom, but there's some work that has to be done right after it. Turning the bank card over. Staying at work. Being accountable. Telling the truth when you talk to your sponsor. Don't ignore the phone calls, because they those interventions, those moments of clarity, that something can happen without your permission that'll change the course of your life if you allow it. But are you willing to participate? I am not the disease. It is just within me. So what it does is it wants me to believe that I'm just a mess and all I did was accumulate time and the recovery process didn't exist. No, John, you made a decision to stop your recovery process. You made the decision, which afforded the disease the opportunity to destroy you. And it's a domino effect. Because then you start going through the process of saying, well, home don't look like home no more. She ain't making love right. I don't like my sponsor. The home group's always sharing mess. I don't want to read the literature no more. I think I need to help my son go through the gang war stuff, and I ain't even living that life. And can't even see it. All started from the refusal to go through the process of grieving. I ain't forget what I told y'all started me gambling. But the process continues to go because I'm dealing with symptoms. And dig this, when my health went bad, we have literature here, right? And I'm just carrying a message not to entertain. My health went bad. And I ain't want to recognize that it went bad. I denial. I'm only 40. I can't be. You know, I used to play ball. I got a gut. That's because I stopped playing ball. All this justification instead of acceptance. And looking at reality for what it is. You ain't doing nothing to keep yourself nurtured in the aspect of being healthy on the inside, but yet still you don't want to take the effects for not doing nothing. You don't want to accept it. So, I had heart attacks. And I'm talking about this last one I had the 5-year-old in the house, and I could not control my feet, I couldn't breathe, I wanted to fall out, I blacked out, my neighbor don't usually be on my pavement with his car, music blasting, but he was, and I can't make it to the door, but I tell the 5-year-old, let's practice the emergency thing, go get the phone, he looking at me, he don't believe me, he knows something wrong, but I'm trying to smile, and every time I open my mouth, I'm losing more of this, I don't want to die, and fear kicking in, and all this excitement, but yet still I can't control my body. Still a symptom of the disease of addiction in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, Narcotics Anonymous said we can seek outside help, but when I'm in this arena, I have one disease. Now, throughout all that, the grace that the literature says the grace of God gave me an opportunity to be here in front of you, but they diagnosed me with some thing called anxiety and panic attacks. And doctor said, well, you in your mind creating these heart attacks. I said, you crazy. I ain't creating no heart attack. You know our second step says we walk up to the drug dealers or people out there and say, can I have a heart attack?
Now you tell me I'm just sitting here by myself telling myself, may I have a heart attack? And that's how I was, you know, discussing it in a more general way. But in all, I was like, no, I'm not. I understand what symptoms is going on. But then I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I prayed. And then I said, okay, let's try this again. Use the principle of open-mindedness. Let's see what these doctors are saying. Yeah, you know that they look in a book and see if you match up to a symptom. Then they say it's yours. But let's take the word trust. The same way you was trusting your sponsor to guide you, and you didn't know he was guiding you, and you didn't know you trusted him. And then when you did the fifth step, you didn't feel like you were judged, and you just got closer to him, and that was a healthy result of a relationship. Well, trust this doctor. So John accepts that he has anxiety and panic attacks. And all he knows is that anytime he doesn't take care of himself the way he's supposed to, those symptoms can take him out of here or cause him to make a decision to use something to try to substitute and ignore or take away the effect. And you say, well, how is that a symptom? Because it affects me. It stops me from being in a state of a healthy human being. And yeah, I seeked outside help for it, but I wouldn't have knew any of this without the process of surrendering to the disease of addiction. Because I surrendered, and the literature and my sponsor helped me identify these other areas, and they still continue to manifest themselves, because what I'm finding out is that I'm maturing spiritually in life. These spurts of spiritual awakening that I get through the journey of the step process is continuing to allow me to be restored into a state of a man. So do I walk and practice with mistakes? Yes. But there's also some success. A whole lot of them. I just need to identify them, appreciate them, enjoy them. The value that I place on life, man, sometimes I take for granted. I get so focused on the present situation that I can't even see how most of the time that I was caught up in my active addiction was because of the refusal to accept life on life terms. I just wanted to fix it the way I wanted to fix it. If it didn't fix the way that I wanted to fix it, then I wouldn't try. And every way that I tried, literature says my best thinking has almost killed me. So I got a little bit of clean time, and I think my best thinking is going to be the solution, and I'm going to make it. I don't got to run nothing past you guys. Because I got this accumulated clean time. I got all the sponsor stuff. I know the literature. I love service. So I don't still need to run things by other people. You know, the 10th step says thinking is a privilege. A privilege is just like, reminds me of my driver's license. If I keep violating the law with my driver's license, what they do? They revoke it and take it from you. So if I keep violating my thinking privilege, what do you think the disease of addiction is going to do to you, John? It's going to kill you. It's going to take your thinking privilege away. And then I'll be running to somebody, you think you own me. You think you boss. You think you know everything. And I set myself up. So what I'm saying to you is these are some of my experience and my view of who I have become and who I can become for the process of recovery. You got to get yours. And if you're not a writer, I'll literally just say you don't have to write. But practice it. Do you take yourself and put it in a situation and look at, okay, I read it says surrender, and surrender means not to fight anymore, so I have a resentment against so-and-so. Can I accept her or him for who they are and surrender in the process and still show up at the meet, give them a hug, tell them the truth, and keep moving? Because this is my process. Funny how the spiritual principles and the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous moves through an individual. And I got cut off because I get so excited, but I was telling you about a time of illness. You know, and some people believe when you use medication, you're in relapse. Or you relapse, or you ain't eligible to share in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I wanted to take a risk to clarify that, because we have one disease and many symptoms in Narcotics Anonymous. We're not cross-addicted. We're not dual-addicted. We're not poly-addicted. We have, the literature says this, we have the disease of addiction, which has been, this has been a proven way. Our predecessor says it. Rarely have we seen anyone who followed the Narcotics Anonymous way
relapse. Rarely. So in times of illness means that I need to learn how to tell the doctor and other members share that. Be accountable. Don't try to dope fiend and say I need two when I'm only supposed to take one. And it's okay if you come in here and this is your first time here and you under the effect of a chemical, stay. Our literature says to keep coming back, but try to come back clean. See, what I find out, because I didn't plan to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. My very first sponsors in this room. And a lot of y'all that's around me now where I live at, and I used to tell you about the breaking the knife off in the guy and the penitentiary thing and like re-entering the same situation the first few days out of jail. And that's how I got here to this room in Narcotics Anonymous. The guy was rolling around, said, come on, go with me. Remember that? You remember that? And I'm not one that dwelled on my past because I think recovery is a beautiful thing. And there's enough of us, the diversity here that tells you about the beginning storms. And you have your own. But I'm sure you, like me, you want to know, what are you doing today in the process of these storms? Like, how do you walk through when you deal with rejection? Or I don't feel adequate to the degree of maybe even just the outfit. Or I make the mistake on the job. And I criticize, because I'll criticize me. And when I criticize me, that's where the self-pity comes in. Self-pity belongs to that department called the disease of addiction. And he would just love an opportunity to tear your life apart again, John. If he can kill your spirit, you know what he'll do to your mind. I already told you what he had me doing physically with the gambling. Emotionally, I find out it's the state that I allow or life itself or the situation places me in. Like emotionally right now, I'm being used and I feel joy and I feel the compassion and the seriousness about giving life back. The message is life. But what I'm saying about that is because a lot of times if I'm not able to identify some stuff, how do I put a solution? So if I'm depressed, maybe I'm supposed to be sad about a situation. Maybe I'm supposed to. You know, I mean, like, life as me being a pleasure-seeking creature doesn't mean every moment of the day is supposed to roll with a smile and joy. The reality, and I told you, is acceptance of life on life term is the challenge. So, disease of addiction that breaks down in many senses. So I got to learn how to walk through that stuff. I'm supposed to feel that if it's the situation that's causing it. But now what do I do to endure it and not let it weigh me down? Because it's a moment for it because it's a purpose. My restoration that I'm in as being a human being, a man, puts me in that process. Not only, okay, St. John, you can cry. Okay, cry. But that don't mean call your boss and tell you ain't coming to work tomorrow because you crying. You know, I'm trying to give you a scenario how my disease will tell me that. My son was in a car accident. And one thing that it told me was, damn, that's an opportunity. Nothing's wrong besides this situation. I'm concerned because I literally say worrying is a lack of faith. I ain't no way I cannot worry or think about if my child's okay if you told me that he was in an accident. Now, am I going to trust and not be stupid and just leave the job, run down the highway, don't pay the electric bill, use that for gas money, he all right, but I'm still down here and I'm bullcrapping around. Or, how about my favorite? Just tell her I'm going down there and I stay in the house and sit on the computer and play this poker game all night. Because that's what the disease of addiction will do. It will seep in to one of your greatest ideals. John. So, I mean, I don't want to make you think it has to always be something major. Because what I'm saying is life on life term, the outcome of him being in an accident happened. He's all right. I did what I was supposed to. I was not using. I did not cause a whole lot of harm so I could be accountable and show up. And I have members in my life, people in my life, like I said earlier, that helps me learn how to allow them to help me. Because I'm good to help you. I'll 4 o'clock in the morning show up and help you. But you can't help me until I'm finished. trying to help me. Because what I keep on allowing myself to be participate in, right? And don't get spooked out with this. The process in page 53, it told me that self-obsession is the core of our disease, basic tech, Andrew. It's the core of our disease, self-obsession. Well, when you start living this way of life and you practicing the steps, right, the principles in it and the traditions and so forth, start rewarding the spirituality, the spiritual growth. Because what I'm moving to or where I'm moving to, this God-centered. See, it's not all self-centered. It's not all self-obsession. It can return. Tim Fett told me that. But the practice I've been getting in here, the successes, has been like throwing water on this candle to the disease of addiction. So my spirit is becoming God-centered and alive. See, you giving me the ability. Power doesn't really get to us till we get to the 11th step. But you've given me the ability through the last 10. And I tell my sponsees, look, I don't know about them, but I know about you. And I want you to review the 10th. Because if you can practice the first part of the 10th step successfully most of the time throughout your week, you are okay. I don't want you constantly beating yourself up looking at the second part. Let's stay in the first part because it's a corrective maintenance step. Like the IP, living the program, still covers your symptoms of the disease of addiction. This information was set up to give me freedom. I need to make meetings. I need to learn how to listen because it's a gift. I also need to learn how to share and not only share the situation, but share the hope. It's called reporting back. How did you get through? Because I'm good for telling you what happened, but what was the outcome? The freedom is in the results. The freedom is to let you know, I heard it too. I was angry too. I was disappointed. I was frustrated. I didn't surrender entirely with the defect of character. I didn't ask God to remove the shortcoming. So, how much time I got left, man? All I know is that this process has been wonderful to me. And the steps has offered me that. And the support of recovering addicts continue to. And I know that the purpose is making sure that the still sick and suffering addicts get this message. The addict that's yet to come. It is so important to keep these doors open and the message clear. Yes. Clear. Like I said, unity is a must. I'm winding down because I don't like baffling and sliding that self-will in there again. Because I can identify some things. Literature says we get these intuitive or hunches inside of us. And you ever get that thought, or some of us say we got to go to the bathroom, well, that's my conscience talking to me. It's giving me those alarms. You know, relapse and recovery talk about red light indicators. Well, it don't always have to be a darn red light. You're getting some signs like, yo, man. And my stomach is my brain got a conscience, too. And it's like, yo, they connecting. Like, you great throw your stuff up in there now. And you great cause some harm. I told you sharing is a responsibility. It's not our time to entertain. It is not our time to throw resentment and attack people. It is to nurture life. And if only one person got something out of this, my job is done. I don't tell who's supposed to get it, because 12 steps said, I don't have that juice. Page 16, basic text. Today, we experience a full range of feelings. Before coming into the fellowship, we either felt elated or depressed. Our negative sense of self has been replaced, did y'all hear that? By a positive concern for others. Answers are provided, so you're allowed to ask questions in Narcotics Anonymous, and problems are solved. It is a great gift to feel human again. What a change from the way that we used to be. We know that the NA program works. The program convinced us that we needed to change ourselves instead of trying to change the people and situations around us. We discovered new opportunities. We found a sense of self-worth. We learned self-respect. This is a program for learning. By working the steps, we come to accept a higher power's will. Acceptance leads to recovery. We lose our fear of the unknown, and we are set free. And someone told me that I was brainwashed, and I argued, and our feelings was hurt. But then when I take a look at that versus where I was at and the way my thinking was, I'd rather be brainwashed with Narcotics Anonymous than to go back to where I was at. Thanks for letting me share.